We're just going to jump right into it. We are very glad that you guys are here, and we just study the Word of God because we want to change. We want to be more like Jesus. Anybody here like Jesus quite yet? Not quite yet. Getting there, hopefully. But we can grow. And so our job is to read the Word of God, allow it to change our lives. And so what we do here should not stop here. It should reflect in our lifetime. Or in our life, sorry. So let me pray, and we're going to jump into Acts chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled when we come to your word. You are the creator of the universe. We have life because you give it to us. You determine every single small detail. Every bird, every blade of grass, every breath that we have is because you have ordained that it would be. And so the fact that we can hear from you and we can speak to you through prayer is a miracle, Lord, and we are grateful for that. And so we pray that we take this responsibility seriously. We're reading your word. We're not reading a book. We're not just sitting down and having a good talk. We're hearing from the God of the universe. And so, Father, I just pray that we would understand the weight of that today. Father, I pray that I do my job well. I cannot do this without you. And so I need you to just work through me, Lord. And so I ask that you be with us today. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Okay, good morning. I hope that your week has been well. I don't know what it's been like, but I hope that it's been well. And if not, just reach out to us. If you need anything, you need prayer for anything, just let us know. This is part two of getting people to Jesus. So the message little series here in Acts chapter 5 is getting people to Jesus. What we said last week is the big picture. The God of the universe wants people to know the gospel. Okay, let's make that clear. God wants people to know the gospel. The problem is that people don't know the gospel on their own. No human being will ever know the truth of Jesus Christ on their own. They have to be taught. And so God wants them to have the gospel. He wants them to have the truth. They don't know the gospel. They don't have it. Therefore, God is going to teach it to them. Therefore, God is going to bring them the gospel. And we said last week that God does that through a partnership, through Himself and through us. Christians, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you are a partner with God. You are not the main act. He is the main act. We are the support staff. But be clear, if you are a Christian and you are in this room, you have a role in getting people the gospel. You do not sit back and let somebody else do it. It is part your job. It is part my job. We have a part to play in bringing the gospel to the world. So again, I don't know what you think about that. No, that's not my job. I don't do that. Yes, you do if you're a Christian. You do it in different ways. We have different gifts. We have different skills. We all have different circumstances. But we are called to bring the gospel to people. Part of that role, a very specific part of that role, is to literally, with your words, speak the gospel. Okay? People do not inherently understand the gospel. We have to speak it to them. You have to explain it to them. They don't know it unless we explain it to them. And so part of our role as Christians is to speak the truth. Okay? To tell the truth. In Acts chapter 4, verses 29, the church cries out to God and they say, God, in the midst of persecution, give us boldness to do what? To speak the truth. The church in Acts understood something about speaking the truth. If you are engaged in speaking the truth with the world, you will run across this problem. It is hard to tell the truth. It is scary to tell the truth. And the reason that it's hard to tell the truth in today's world and in any world is because telling the truth has consequences. Telling the truth has consequences. And to be honest with you, we are all afraid of those consequences. You may be more outgoing, you may be a salesman who can talk to everybody, but there does come a time when sharing the truth, speaking the truth into somebody's life is hard. It's not easy. It's what we're called to do, but it's not easy. Alright, you may think, it's not that hard to tell the truth. It's super easy to tell the truth. Alright, let me ask you a question. Ladies, women, I guess it's a progressive world, men too. Ladies, have you ever been asked out by a guy that you had zero interest in? Like no interest at all. There's a guy that's pursuing you. There's a guy that's wooing you. And he comes up to you and he muscles up the courage and he says, do you want to go out with me on a date? And inside you're thinking, no, I don't. I have no interest in you at all. I'm not attracted to you. I don't really like who you are. So no, I do not want to go out on a date with you. That's hard to say. Be honest. Has anybody ever said yes when they wanted to say no? Anybody? Nobody's going to... Thank you. Thank you for one honest person in the church. Right? Telling the truth is hard. And as you up the stakes, it gets even more difficult. I am a parent, and so I spend a lot of my time around other parents. Parents, have you ever been in a room or been in a home or been on a playground? When you're sitting there and you're watching another kid's behavior and you're looking at their parent and you're expecting them to get up and do something, but they don't. And their kid is throwing dirt in your kid's face, or their kid's screaming at his parent or throwing kids off the playground, and you have full expectation that their parents are going to stand up and say, "Hey, stop doing that, little Johnny. What you're doing is wrong." But they don't. They just sit there and they're on their phone, or they're just like, "Oh, look at little Johnny being so creative." What's the truth? The truth is that parent needs to get up and take their kid over to a different place and handle business, however you do that. So many times I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at other parents, I'm like, is anybody going to say anything? Because this is ridiculous. Their kid's a monster. What are they going to do? But how many times have we kept quiet? It's hard to tell the truth. It's hard to be honest. How many times have you ever been in a room where you're the one Christian that's going to speak the truth, or you have the truth, and you go around, everybody's like, "Well, I think when I die, I become a dove, and I turn into a dove, and I fly into the atmosphere, and that's my eternity. I think that when I die, I can just be a beam of light. That's what I want to be." Right? And they come around, and they come to you, and they think, what do you think happens when people die? Well, they either go to eternal paradise, or they burn in hell forever against, you know, internal damnation. Right? Is it easy to say that? No, it's hard. The truth is hard. If you're in this room and you're a Christian, I hope that you have non-Christian friends in your life. I hope you have real relationships with people who don't know Jesus. And if you're real with those people and they're real with you, there's going to come a time when they're going to come to you and they're going to say, "Hey, I don't believe in Jesus like you do. You think that I'm going to hell because I don't believe in the Jesus that you believe in?" What do you say at that moment? The answer is easy. The answer is yes. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. But if you do believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. But if somebody that you love and you care about and you actually are invested in because you care about this person, it's hard to tell them that. It's hard to say the truth. That's why they ask for boldness in Acts chapter 4. Say, "God, we want to tell the truth, but it is so hard." It takes courage to speak the truth. Being a Christian is hard. But what happens out there in the world with non-Christians, with real... So we can be safe and we can pretend and just have conversations about things that don't matter. Those are easy conversations. I can talk to non-Christians all day about sports because it doesn't matter. I can talk all day about, you know, the gym, whatever the thing's going on, the weather. We talk about that, right? So those things are easy, but to get to real, honest conversations, it takes courage. Reading the Bible, coming to church, praying, those are good things, and they need to be done in the Christian life, but they are safe. They can be safe. It's not hard to come to church. We're all on the same page. We're here to encourage each other and lift each other up. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of boldness to go out into a world and speak the truth. It's hard. So let me ask you a question before we get into the passage. How are you doing with speaking the truth? In the last 6 months, how many times have you chickened out when you know God's saying, "Tell them the truth. They need to know it"? How many times have you chickened out? How many times have you danced around it? "Well, you know what? You have your truth and I have mine. And really, who am I to say what really is going to happen?" How many times have you got wordy and just kind of walked away? Or how many times have you avoided the conversation altogether? So many people in America, or at least the world that I live in, they don't have real relationships because they don't want to have real conversations. Everything is superficial. They don't want to get deep with people because they know down that road they're going to have a real conversation about their eternity. How have you been doing with speaking the truth? God said, go out and tell people about Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So our job is to go out and tell people the truth. How are we doing? Are we succeeding? Are we failing? Are we good sometimes? Are we not good other times? Just give yourself a little, 0 to 10. 0 is I chicken out all the time. I never share the gospel. I never am honest with people. I always say the easy answer, or I avoid all conversations about real things. Or 10, man, I'm doing it, man. I'm out there sharing the gospel. I'm out there being honest with people all the time. How are you doing? I'm going to jump into the passage. Just want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Okay? It's hard to tell the truth. It's really hard to tell the truth. It may be the hardest thing that we're called to do as Christians, to speak the truth to other human beings. But luckily, we have examples of men and women in the Bible who speak boldly. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to study a group of people who are bold in their speech. So hopefully we can learn from them. Acts chapter 5, verses 17. Okay, today is a prop day. You notice you have things in your chair. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do with those, because you're all like, what are we going to do with these? You're going to have to wait until we get done. Okay. And today we're going to have lots of things going on, lots of exciting sermon stuff today. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Acts chapter 5, we're going to set the stage, and then we're going to walk through the passage. Okay. We talked a little bit about this last week, but let's just keep talk about it again. Okay. Coming into Acts chapter 5, verses 17, there's a battle going on. Okay? There's a war going on in Jerusalem. A lot of different things going on, but the one that we're talking about is a battle between the Jewish leaders and the Christian leaders, or we would call the apostles. Okay? So you've got, we're just going to call them from this point on, the Jewish leaders, let's just call them the council, okay? The Jewish council. And then you've got the apostles, right? Peter and John and the rest of them. You've got 12 apostles. They're the Christian leaders. You've got the Jewish leaders and you've got the Christian leaders. And they are at an all-out war with each other. Not physical war, but a spiritual war. So let's talk about why they're at war. Why are there such conflict, okay? So this is prop day, so there's pictures. This is going to represent Judaism, okay? I don't know if it's stereotypical or on whatever. This represents Judaism, okay? So this is Judaism in our history lesson before Jesus comes to the table, okay? So before Jesus comes to this earth, there's a Judaism. There's a theology behind the Jewish faith, okay? And that's what pretty much all of the Jews, all of God's people buy into this faith, okay? So that's Judaism. Let's set this up. Use my little aspirin bottle here. Okay, so this is what God's people believe. This alone is the truth. Okay, this is the Jewish theology. That is the truth of the world. And then we have Jesus, right? So then Jesus comes along. So we have this truth, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes along. Well, now things change, right? Basically, what happens when Jesus comes along is he says, okay, here's what Jesus is. Jesus is the fulfillment of this faith. Okay? Jesus is not a new religion. It's not a new theology. It's just the extension of Judaism. So Jesus says, okay, Judaism comes this far. Now it's extended into new revelation through the person of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus says this, the Jews now have to make a decision. Is Jesus right? Is our faith, is our theology going to evolve, bad term, but evolve into the revelation of Jesus Christ, or do we stick with what it is? So you have all Judaism. Jesus comes onto the scene and he says, I'm the fulfillment. The Jewish faith has been teaching messianic prophecies. There's going to come the Savior of the world. And Jesus says, I'm it. So the Jews have a choice. They either believe what they used to believe, or they combine the two, which is now Judaism with Jesus Christ. Okay? So here's our split in Judaism when Jesus comes. Judaism with Jesus, and then Judaism without Jesus. The Jewish council, the Jewish leaders, they take Judaism without Jesus. They said, Jesus, we reject your claims. We reject the fact that you are the extension of our faith. We reject you. So now there's a line in the sand. There's Judaism, and the Jewish leaders say, we believe in Judaism, but no Jesus. We don't believe Jesus. We reject Jesus. And they rejected him so much, they even sent him to the cross. That's the Jewish leaders. That's the Jewish council. Now we have the apostles. Now we have Peter, John, and all the apostles. And they take the other track. They say, we believe in Judaism plus, or the extension of, Jesus Christ. So very simply put, the Jewish council, they say, our faith, no Jesus. The Christian leader says, our faith, yes Jesus. Okay? So here we have two conflicting messages. Here's what you need to know about these two messages. They are mutually exclusive, which means you can't have both. You can't have Judaism with Jesus or without Jesus. It's one or the other. You have to pick sides. You have to choose what side you're on because they're different faiths. Because the Christians will say, if you don't have Jesus, you don't really have the truth. And the Jews are saying, if you have Jesus, you have the false information. So both of these people are claiming that they have the truth. So we have a fight going on. We have a battle going on. And so we're not distracted. I'm going to put this down. Well, I'll just leave it up for you guys. And enjoy that, okay? So you have the Jewish council. They reject the apostles' message. They hate the message of the gospel because it undermines their gospel. The Christians are saying, Jesus Christ, that's the truth. What they're saying, not the truth. And that makes the Jewish leaders very mad. It starts out as a very just inconvenient thing, right? They were annoyed with Jesus. They sent him to the cross and they said, okay, we'll snuff him out, kill the leader, and it'll be done. And Jesus dies on a cross and they're like, whoo, okay, the whole Jesus thing is going to go away, right? Unfortunately, Jesus Christ rises from the grave and he goes to heaven, and not only does it go away, it starts exploding on the scene. So the Jewish leaders think, we killed Jesus, it's going to go away, right? No, it doesn't go away. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and louder and louder and louder. So the Jews are getting more and more frustrated with the Christians. And that's the setting of what we pick up in verse 17. Acts chapter 5, verses 17, we have a battle going on. The Jewish leaders versus the Christian church and their leaders. Verse 17. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, this is the council we're talking about, and they were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came, this is the leader of the council, the Jewish council, and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain with his officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. All right, let's just pause there for a moment, okay? You've got the Jewish council. You've got 70 people in the Jewish council, around 70. And they're like, look, we got to snuff these Christians out. We're tired of them. We were annoyed. Then we were irritated. Now we just hate them. We can't stand them. We got to snuff them out. So this is their opportunity to put a power play, right? We talked about this before with Peter and John. They tried to shut them up before. It didn't work. So like they're going to put all their chips in. So they say, all right, when they get in here, they're in jail right now. When they get in here, we're going to snuff them out. We're going to power play them. They don't have any real authority. We have the authority to send them to the cross because we did it with Jesus. So we're going to really, really press on them to suppress the Jesus people and their movement. And they're already mad enough. And then they say, okay, you guys ready? Yeah, we're ready. Bring them in. And the guard comes back and says, they're not there. What do you mean they're not there? Where are they? I don't know. All the doors are locked. All the guards are there. But the apostles, the Christian leaders who you hate, yeah, they're not there. What do you mean? What do we do? So they're a little bit confused. And then somebody pops in. I don't know who this person is. And they say, hey, those guys that you hate so much and that message that you hate so much, yeah, they're not in prison. They're actually out in public preaching that message that you hate. Right? So can you imagine, like, you're ready to double down and get these people and suppress them, and all of a sudden you find out they're openly defying you in the public temple? That would have just sent them over the edge, right? You're already mad, and then all of a sudden they're doing exactly what we told them not to do. So at this point, they are fuming. They are mad. They are angry. They are filled with rage. And this is where we pick up in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they sent them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, just feel the anger in his voice. We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Right? This is anger. This is, we told you to stop. You better stop now. And they have authority. They have power. At this point, Peter and the apostles have a choice. They're getting ready to talk. They've got an opportunity to speak. The question is what are they going to say? Are they going to dance around it and be like, well, we're not really, you know, in conflict. We're actually working together. We're all like the same team, right? They could say, you know what? The apostles at this point could have said, okay, if we say the wrong thing, we might get put to death. So you know what? We've got a church of 25,000 people. We're the most successful pastors in history. We can write books. You know what? Let's just cut our losses, call it a day, and not do the whole Jesus thing anymore, right? We've got a lot of people to take care of. Let's just do that. Or they can tell the truth. Or they can speak the truth. Here's what they say. Verse 28, or 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Okay, it doesn't really jump off the page if you don't know the context. But look at their reaction in verse 33. Look how they responded to Peter's and the apostles' statements. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. The things that Peter and the apostles said were so offensive, so disrespectful, the Jewish leaders said, those people deserve to die. We're going to kill them. Let's walk through why that was such a big deal. Right off the bat, here's basically the overall thesis of what Peter and the apostles say. First thing they say is this, basically. This is not our message. This is God's message. This is not our idea. We didn't sit in a room and come up with this theology. We didn't sit in a room and think, okay, what's going to benefit us the most? Let's think of something that's really going to benefit us. Peter and the apostles say, look, we didn't come up with this theology. It's God's message, not ours. We didn't make this up. God revealed this to us. We listened to God, and this is the message that He's given us. And basically what they're saying is, if you've got a problem with the message that we preach, take it up with God. Because all we're doing is witnessing and bearing witness, and we're just His ambassadors. We didn't create this message, we're just the ones who share it. So that's what they're saying. They're saying, look guys, we don't want to pick a fight with you, but we are not going to back down to you. When God is on the other side, we're going to submit to God and do whatever He tells us to do. And we're going to preach whatever truth He tells us to preach. Because He's God and not us. That's their message. You got a problem with it? Take it up with God. I love that, right? It's just so right there, right? We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus. God exalted Him. God has given, right? It's all about God. So I think in my assessment of it, I think they were trying to actually just be honest. Just be straight honest with the people and say, look, we didn't come up with this. We're not anything. We're saved by grace. We're not rock stars. We just were told a message and we love it and it's beautiful and we just want to tell the world. We listen to God. And it's a good message for those who believe it. It's a hard message, but it's a good message. But here's what I think the council heard because we see their reaction. I think the Jewish High Council, because they were so mad and so frustrated, here's what they heard from the apostles. They heard, you are wrong, we are right. And that's true. They were wrong. They heard, you're not on God's side. You may be the spiritual leaders of this Judaism, but you don't know God. You think that you are the representatives of God. In fact, you are the enemies of God. You put Jesus on the tree, on the cross. And this part about the Holy Spirit is just would have been a complete slap to their face. Right? They say the Holy Spirit has been given to those who obey Him. So basically what they're saying is, we obey Jesus, you do not. Therefore, we have the Holy Spirit, you do not. For the longest time, the Jews have prided themselves on being God's people. What Peter and the apostles are saying is, we are God's children and you are not. We are God's children, you are God's enemies. It's basically what they're saying. And that's what made them so upset. Just to give a few characteristics, a few word descriptive of this statement. This speech is hurtful, it's intolerant, it's discriminating, it's disrespectful, and it's insulting from a certain perspective. Right? We get that, right? That's why they wanted to kill him. They were so mad at what was just said to them, they wanted to kill him. And so it is all those things. It is hurtful. It is disrespectful. It is saying, you killed Jesus. You did all these things, right? It's all those things, but it's also true. Everything that the apostles said to the high council was true. Matthew chapter 27. Let me just read this real quick. Matthew 27, this is this council that we're talking about today. They have Jesus in front of them, and it says, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Okay? This council was the one who said, Jesus, you are a blasphemer and you deserve to die. And when they brought him before Pilate, Pilate says, I don't see anything wrong with this man. And they said, kill him. And Pilate said, I'm not doing that. And they rout up the crowd. The council rout up the crowd and said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate tried to get out of it, but they succeeded in having Jesus killed. So it was hurtful, right? Who wants to be told that you're a murderer of Jesus Christ? But it was the truth. Why have you tried to bring this, the blood of this man upon us? Because you did. You killed him. It's all true. They were wrong. The Jewish council was wrong. The Jewish council were enemies of God. So it's a hard message, but it is a true message. The apostles spoke the truth. That took courage. That took boldness. That took a supernatural courage to stand before a council of powerful people and say, you are not what you think that you are. You have the wrong message. You don't get it. You're enemies of God. It takes a lot of courage to say that. So the question for you is will you be like them? Will you stand up and speak the truth? It's not easy. We all know how hard it is. We've all been looking at another human being in the eyes and we love them so much and we don't want them to pay the price for their sins. We want them to know the gospel. Our heart breaks. Please stop fighting me and just accept the truth. Right? Well, I don't know if God's real. Like all these arguments that people come up with, right? And we just want to say, stop! You don't know what you're talking about. And our heart breaks. We want to tell them, if you don't make a change, you're going to hell. But if you do make a change, you're with God forever in eternal paradise. That's such a hard message to preach. Let's see what time I am. I don't know if you're like me. I desperately want to speak the truth. God has put me in positions and I'm like, I got to speak the truth, and I chicken out. And I just don't do what I know I'm supposed to do. If you're like me, you might be saying this. I want to, but I can't. I just can't get myself to do it. There are four things. Let me just tell you how I believe the apostles teach us, okay? Four things. I want to be honest with people. I want to share the truth. I want to speak the truth. How do I get that done? Number one, you pray. I mean, you pray like you've never prayed before. You don't just rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God, on your way out. God, help me have courage. Okay, I'm going to go do my thing. Right? Get on your knees and say, God, I love this person, and they're going to go to hell unless they know the truth. And so, God, I need to tell them something, the truth. Please give me the boldness or the courage to do it. Acts chapter 4, that's the whole church saying, God, we're going to fail unless you help us. So give us the courage. Number two, read the Scriptures. Christians, God is speaking to you. Please read the Scriptures. If you want real courage to stand up for the truth, read the Bible every single day. This is why you have a bracelet, right? This is the bracelet on the chair. Please take home with you. Joshua 1:9, right? Be courageous. Be strong. The Lord your God is with you. That's what happens when you read the Bible. Like, oh, God's with me? Oh, that makes things a lot easier. John chapter 14, verses 16, Jesus says, I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit of God, and will be with you forever. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, therefore go and make disciples. Right? This is a hard job. And at the back end of that verse, in 29, it says, behold, the Lord is with you to the very end of the age. The God of the universe, the power that made little shepherd boy David take down and stand before Goliath, that power is in you. That courage is in you. You read the verses and you're like, oh my goodness, I have that kind of courage? Yes, you have the Holy Spirit of God in your soul. You have everything that you need. As a Christian, we have no legitimate excuse for not doing it. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Read the Bible. It tells you about these things. So get on your knees and pray and say, God, I need this boldness. Number two, read the Scriptures. Number three, obey Him. Right? Sometimes as Christians, we're so smart, we're so clever, we look down the line and think, okay, if I'm friends with that person, we're going to have a hard conversation. So you know what? I'm not even going to be friends with them. Just easier not to go down that road. You know what? If I start having that kind of conversation, it's going to get real. So I'm not really a big fan of real, so I'm going to avoid that conversation. Look, if God is telling you to go somewhere, you go there, even if it's hard. And then when you're in the moment, just let God take over. I don't know how else to say it other than that. Right? The Apostle Peter was an absolute coward before he had the Holy Spirit. He denies that he even knows Jesus three times. But after he has the Holy Spirit, he's standing before the high council saying, you murdered Jesus. Just let God take over. But you got to be in prayer. You got to know your Scripture. You got to obey. You can't say, God, I'm just going to sit in my easy chair and watch TV. And if you want to bring somebody, have them knock on my door, because I'm not going out there. All right, we get the point. Let me just give a little motivation. Motivation, then I got homework. You got a piece of paper. I'll tell you what the piece of paper is for, okay? Motivation. Let's just say you had somebody that you absolutely love, and they're dying of an illness. You have the cure, but you've got to go through a lot of work to get it to them. You're going to do everything you can to get it to them. You got to climb mountains? I'm climbing mountains. You got to blood, you got to bleed and sweat and cry to get this person who you love this cure. You're going to do whatever you have to get them the cure because you love them. Okay? The gospel, the truth, is the cure for the soul. Our soul is diseased with sin, and the gospel is the cure. So if you're willing to go over mountains and go through great lengths to give somebody a physical cure, then what greater lengths should we go through to give people the eternal cure for their soul? We love the gospel. We're Christians. It's the most beautiful thing. I was a wretched sinner and God saved me from my sins and I get to go to be in heaven with God forever. I was on death row. Now I'm in God's house. That's an awesome message. Getting it to people is going to be some challenges, but it's worth it. There's no greater mission in this life. Okay. Homework. You have a card, an index card. I wonder if you will be bold today. There's something about writing things down. Like if it's in your mind and it's a concept, you're like, oh, I'm going to go speak the truth today, okay? That's great. But there's something about writing it down that makes it real, right? That's why we, you know, write things down. So you got two sides here. Number one, I'm asking you. You're an adult. You can do whatever you want. You can take these and throw them in the trash. You can do whatever you want. Here's what I'm asking you. On one side of your card, I want you to write down a location of where you need to speak the truth. Maybe it's your home. Maybe you're not honest at home. Maybe you want to tell your spouse something, but you just haven't. Maybe you want to tell your kids something, you just haven't done it. Talking about spiritual things, okay? Like, so if your kid's like, you know, got body odor and you're like, I want to tell them, like, that's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about real spiritual things. First thing is a location. Where do you need to be more bold in sharing the gospel or just telling the truth? Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's on the baseball field. Maybe it's on the football field. Whatever it is. Where do you need to be more bold? Where have you said, I missed another opportunity? That's the first side. Second side is a name. One name. Who do you need to be bold with? You probably already know. I got to talk to this person. I got to tell them the truth. So I'm asking you to be bold by writing this down. One side, a location. Where do I need to be more bold in my speech for the Lord? Second side is a name. I've done mine, so just so we're clear. Just done mine. All right, that's good. Let's pray. Father, it's scary telling people the truth. And the higher the stakes, the harder it gets to speak the truth. I pray that we always remember what your scripture teaches us is that in the challenge, in the struggle, when all we want to do is run away from the conversation, you are there with us. The God of the universe is with us. We are not alone. We are never alone. We so badly want to be honest with people, but we can't because we're chickens. And in our flesh, we're scared and we want to run. But the boldness that we need, the courage that we need, is right there with us. If we would just be open to you working in our lives, then we could do these amazing things and just speak the truth. Father, I pray that we would be like the apostles. And we would say, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter if the world doesn't want to hear the gospel. You've told us to go out and tell people. So we listen to God and not to men. Father, I pray that the motivation of why it is that we speak the truth is love. We tell people the hard things because we want them to get over those hard things. If they have sin in their life, we want to tell them about their sin so we can tell them about forgiveness and how your blood washes away every single thing that we've ever done. Father, just give us the strength to say what we need to say. And if anybody in this room is a Christian for more than 6 months, Lord, we know what we need to say. We just need to do it. So, Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to do what we know we're supposed to do. Because they don't know the gospel. They don't know how awesome it is to be saved. And you've chosen us to go tell them. I pray that we would have the courage to do it. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Before we play, I'm going to ask you to take one more step of courage. Again, you can do whatever you want. Here's where this church is, or real church, is different than internet church. Okay, you have a card. In the front, you have a location, and you have a name. I'm asking you to be bold. Show this to another human being before you leave this church. So you show it to another human being. Whoa, now we're held accountable, right? Now it gets real. Okay, so here's my challenge to you. Take what you wrote down on the card, show it to another person, and say, look, this is who I need to be bold with. This is who I need to be bold with. Not like this. Okay, got it, right? Let them see it. This is what the church is for. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to build each other up. So that's my challenge. Before you walk out that door or that door, and there's no windows you can escape out of, okay? That's my challenge. Show somebody else what is on your card.